welcome to episode 221 of Make Game Over Nation. I started reading the title of the last episode of Making Things Things.
Making Things Things.
I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
FuckNintendo.com.
Gabe Philbin.
Hello. Was it only last week that we bought that?
Yeah.
It was last week. Yeah. It was 1 week.
Feels like that was a while ago.
Also joining us is Dylan Roush.
White people dabbing. I just dabbed.
.com.
We own so many websites.
At one point, we're going to own more websites than we have podcast episodes.
It's possible.
And then we wait for a rainy day and sell it to some desperate asshole in a bar like us.
If I can sell it for $39, I will have made a profit.
I don't know. Emotionally, that moment in time is worth so much more to me than that. I wish you saw it, Javi. It was beautiful.
What was that?
The people that inspired whitepeopledabbing.com.
Yeah.
Wow. Three of us are sitting at the bar. This asshole is fucking talking to me. And Ryan decides to buy white people dabbing because they dabbed.
Well, like, it wasn't just
that's like
that
the worst way you could have told the story.
It wasn't just that they dabbed, is that they did it in like a sequence. So like one person did it, then the next person did it, then the next person, and it was almost like it was choreographed. And then I missed it because my back was turned. Yeah. And then I quickly purchased that.
Be careful.
I'll never
dabbing.
Have that moment.
Just be careful while dabbing. You don't know who's watching.
And, you know, you don't want to pull anything.
It's true. During my introduction, there could have been someone at my window just recording secretly to upload to their white people dabbing montage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dabtage.
Bastards.
So here we are.
Yeah. We're so, Ryan, have you been playing any video games?
Pretty much just Stardew Valley. I'm still really digging that game. I want to Enter the Gungeon came out this week, and so I want to get that. I played it at PAX South, and it was pretty cool. So I'm hoping to get my hands on that soon. I don't think I've really played anything else. I haven't been home a lot, so that's not helped. I didn't even get to play much Stardew last week. Like, last night was the first time I sat down in like 4 or 5 days and actually had time to play, so that was nice.
You think Stardew would be better suited as a handheld game?
I mean, I think there's room for that, but I don't know that it would be better, but it would be nice to have it to take with me. Like, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because it scratches all those itches of Animal Crossing, which you get to keep doing it. And also, there's like way more to do.
Animal Crossing is so much better. Yeah. Animal Crossing is so much better on a handheld than on a console.
Right.
It just doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that's where I think it would shine. But it has so much more to do in it than Animal Crossing. So it's not just that. It's got a lot more to it, but it.
And no waiting.
Yeah, no waiting. I think that would be kind of neat if you could get it on a handheld. Now, I'm curious, because, like, some of the stuff I could see looking really tiny, but I guess on, like, a 3DS XL, like, with the touchscreen and everything, it might be all right.
Yeah, and you could, like, have the top screen be the zoomed-in version where you see everything the correct size, but it doesn't, you know.
Well,
and then
the
bottom
also,
screen could be like a overmap.
The game also
or
does a weird thing on PC, and Harris discovered this, that it scales based on your resolution in a weird way. So, like, he wanted to take a picture of his whole farm, so he set the resolution weird, so it, like, just basically gave a giant aerial view of his farm.
Yeah, but that crashed his game.
Yeah, right after he took that picture.
Sweet.
Worth it.
Yeah. So that was kind of weird, but I assume they would just optimize it for the right size that made the most sense for a handheld, but you never know. I think that's pretty much all I've been playing, but I'm still really digging it, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that being the only thing I'm playing.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Gabe?
Well, I played, I think, a bit more Stardew Valley this week and kind of slowing down on that a little bit. Just kind of like trying to migrate into other games. But I feel like the thing, I don't even know if people are calling it a game, but the thing I spent the most time doing is probably Miitomo.
What a weirdo. I downloaded it. We talked about this right before. I downloaded it and like set up my character, and then that was it.
Oh, it's pretty bad, but it's...
I have not opened it again.
But it's like perfectly stupid. It's so stupid. I love it.
Just like Gabe.
I know. It fits me. It's my aesthetic. Miitomo is my aesthetic. Yeah, I'm just having some big old dumb fun with that. I got a little busy at school and just some papers to write. But over the weekend, watched some wrestling. Javi came over for WrestleMania, which was kind of a snore fest. I apologize again for it being boring.
I forgive you.
Thank you. It was weighing down on me. And we also on Saturday went out to Attaball and played some pinball, and I don't know, what would you call it? Mario Bros? That like weird-ass Mario Bros, but with a skateboard and Coca-Cola instead of coins.
Cola.
Cans
of cola.
Now that you mention that, I did go to, me and a buddy went to Brash Brewing here in Houston, and they've got a bunch of arcade cabinets set up in there, like Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., like a bunch of old classics in there. Didn't get a chance to play any of them that night, but I do. I want to go back and see what all they got. It was pretty neat. Go ahead.
Cool.
I'm trying to, like, I don't know. It's been kind of a quiet week for me. I've been meaning to get back into Fire Emblem because I haven't played that in God knows how long. You got Fire Emblem?
Yeah, I got it, and I played it a little bit.
It was cool. I think Ryan bought it before you, Gabe.
I bought it, and then Stardew Valley came out, and I bought that, and then it was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that does not seem like your kind of game.
I've played Fire Emblem games before.
Okay. Yeah, but the aesthetic it's isn't necessarily anime.
anime.
That, like the anime side of it's not necessarily me, but like the gameplay is fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but the anime aspect's like fucking half of it.
You're an Advance Wars kind of guy.
Yeah.
Still Tactics pretty anime, ogre. But
yeah. Well, I liked Final Fantasy Tactics. Advance.
Oh,
that was the first one I played. That one was good.
I just want this. I hate the laws. The laws make me mad.
Yeah, they were a little. They were a little. I don't know. I guess it added another layer, but I had never played it without them. So,
Ryan, do you have a Vita or a PSP?
I have a Vita.
Fuck. Get War of the Lions.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a little bit of slowdown, but obviously, you're not. I mean. You're not going to run into that a lot.
A turn-based strategy game doesn't really suffer from slowdown, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just the summons that really do it, and you don't run into that until pretty late. Plus,
it's on Vita, so it might be better.
Yeah.
Because it is a PSP game.
And it's got a better... I mean, it has... I love the writing from the original, but the... I mean, War of the Lions has a better translation. But it's you can buy it on the PlayStation store and then just transfer it to your Vita.
Cool. Something like that. I'll have to look for it.
Or it's available straight up on the Vita, I don't remember.
Gotcha. I'll have to look.
I think you had to buy it through the PSN and then just send it to the Vita, like I did with Persona 3.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry. Continue.
Well, I think I am just about all done already. It's been, as I said, kind of a quiet week.
Cool. Dylan, what have you been doing?
Not a whole ton. I played I do have something I do want to talk about, and that's the Digimon on the Vita. because I did when I first got it. It was great. Fucking great. I liked it. It was fun. As I've put more time into it, I'm getting increasingly irritated the further along in the game I get. So, my biggest issue with it is leveling system. Because the whole way whole works is there's evolution and shit, and but then there's de-evolution. The whole point is like you evolve, like level up stats, evolve onto a different route so you can go further. But it's really convoluted because it doesn't really explain it. But you'll just randomly stop getting stats once you get to a certain point with each Digimon, and it has no real explanation of how to get past that. And so, like with half of them, I ended up wasting it, so they're all super underleveled, but I can't progress anymore because everything, without getting super annoyed, because then I get stuck with a boss that takes, you know, 40 minutes to beat because I was stupid and didn't realize it. I hate it. I hate how grindy it feels towards the end of the game. I know I'm pretty close to the end. It just feels like it slogs. Especially with the leveling system later in the game. Like, the high-level Digimon are more of a pain in the ass to get than anything else.
This is a Digimon game?
Yeah. Okay. And like I said, I enjoyed it at first, and then it turned into a grind. And it's not as enjoyable now. It's more frustrating than anything.
There's no explanation of what they're the champions of.
A digital world.
Oh.
Well, that answered that real quick.
Sure. They just claim to be the champions, but that's as far as they go.
Yeah, and then I played a little bit more Pokemon. I got the Japanese version of Blue in the mail. I haven't opened that one yet, but not other than that, I don't think I've really played anything. Yeah, I think that's about it. Some League with Gabe, cool. But
yeah, that's kind of just the standard.
That's pretty standard.
That's a given by this point.
Yeah, I don't even.
It's almost as given as Stardew Valley every week.
Yep.
I haven't played Stardew Valley in over a week.
Me neither.
Because I went fucking ham on it in that first weekend.
Jesus, we all did.
I did.
I was up to like 4 a.m. playing that, and then I burned myself out on it.
I just got like, the problem with me is like, I've gotten so just efficient at everything that I'm just making like too much money.
I have no goals in that game anymore.
Like, I have to finish... I have a few more things for the community center. Like, three individual items to finish the community center off. And I wonder if anything happens after that. I haven't actually looked into what happens. I'd just like to get that thing wrapped up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still got a ways to go.
Me too.
I did not play it as much as you guys did that first week. I played it a lot, but... Good lord. You guys hit it pretty hard, especially Dylan. Dylan hit it hard.
Fucking right I did. I didn't have anything to do that weekend.
Yeah.
As I was like, oh yeah. Fucking played till 4 a.m. every day, woke up at 8 and just kept playing.
Is there any kind of like end game or like thing where you're done everything?
3 years, your dead grandfather comes and like his ghost comes and checks out your farm.
And he evaluates you.
Yeah.
And it used to be really fucking strict. They made it a lot easier to pass his inspection.
It's to pass his inspection.
So, well, then also, I'm sure they're going to be developing add-ons because guy's made so much money.
Yeah.
So instead of Professor Snape checking your shit, you got fucking Professor Slughorn, and he loves you.
Okay.
Perfect. That is the best way to describe this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. I guess it's my turn.
It is.
Really, the only thing of interest that I've played was that Mario Bros. Game or whatever.
Mario Bros.
With Gabe. Mario Bra. I actually want to go back. I have a vendetta with that fucking game.
That sixth level is not the same Mario Bros. Level. It gets into like some borderline kaiju shit.
Yeah.
What?
So it like reskinned certain assets, like all the enemies and all the collectibles are reskinned, but for the most part it's identical to the original Mario Brothers. But then you get to that one level and that wasn't in there.
Yeah,
6-3 or 4, yeah. Maybe 3, yeah. But every jump is you have to jump as far as you possibly can, so you have to jump at the last second while you're running, and then there's sometimes you have to bounce off something before when it's in the right spot because it's moving up and down, and there's springs that you have to jump off at the right time so you get the most verticality.
And you've got drinks in you too, so it's like even harder.
Yeah, drinks in you, and you're not playing with the D-pad. You're playing with this awful
shitty ass controller, yeah. Or arcade cabinet.
So everything's working against you.
Yeah.
Other than that, I got Hyrule Warriors on 3DS.
Oh, I didn't know that was out.
And. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that game, I got it on Wii U way back in the day, and I played like the first level or two, and then I did some of the free play stuff, and it just didn't hook me at all. It felt like a weird knockoff using like the Zelda brand, and like I didn't understand the mechanics, and like looking at the TV and then down at the gamepad was kind of like there's just too much going on, and I didn't really get the mechanics of the game. And I think honestly I just wasn't in the mood to learn all that shit. Like I wasn't giving it a fair shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night I stayed up until like 4 a.m. just playing like the first 5, 6, 7 levels. Like I kept going, all right, one more, all right, one more, you know. I did like the there's a branching path where it introduces you to Linkle, the female Link.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of a cool, like fresh, like she has a fresh new moveset compared to Link. I'm just having a lot more fun with it this time around. I think it suits a handheld a lot more, except for that I do want to check it out on Wii U again now that like I'll appreciate the better graphics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I'm actually really liking Hyrule Warriors. It's definitely light years better than Triforce Heroes. Triforce Heroes I tried to play and I was insulted by how bad it is. Like, I deleted it off of my 3DS. I don't even want it.
I've like, really want to give Hyrule Warriors a shot, but I've never liked any of the Warriors games. But it's a Zelda game that has... Or it's not, like, a Zelda game, but a Zelda-branded game with Tetra and Midna, and I'm never going to get another game with either of those two people.
Yeah, and for me, it's like, you could play as Toon Link and Tetra, and you got... Majora's Mask Link and just all this cool, crazy,
King
weird
of Red
shit.
Lions.
It really feels like just a celebration of Zelda, even though it's not a Zelda game in any sense, or like it doesn't have any of the mechanics. There's no dungeons, but like they really threw everything in here that you remember from Zelda, and so it does feel like a celebration, and like just. The way they use a lot of the music and a lot of the iconic sound effects and stuff, it's like, oh, that's clever. Oh, I remember that. It is very cheesy, I guess, or I don't know, superficial, I guess is the word I'm looking for. But I don't know. There's definitely a lot of charm to it. And if you just look at the game as kind of like a tribute to the franchise, and it's pretty cool. But yeah, like I wouldn't be interested in playing this game if it weren't like covered in Zelda themes. Like if it was just a standard Dynasty Warriors game, it's just like, you know, samurai and stuff like that, like like the gameplay is not that engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but but no, I'm really enjoying it, so I recommend
cool.
it,
maybe
especially for 3DS.
Maybe one day when I'm over at your place, I'll snag your 3DS for a bit, give it a shot.
Okay,
you have no say in
that. Sounds
matter.
Good.
I'm sorry.
All right. But yeah, that's basically all I've been playing. I think it's time for some news.
Some new stuff. Well, yeah, not a lot. Ba-ba-ba-da. This has been a slow everything. maybe we got like a few things. So Gears of War 4 launches on October 11th. Thinking about it, like, we haven't seen anything on Gears of War 4 since E3. Like, I didn't really realize that.
Why isn't it called Gears of 4? That.
It was, most people had a negative reaction to it, it felt like, or at least, like, looking at my Twitter, that's what it kind of felt like.
To the new screenshots of the characters and everything? Like, the character reviews?
Yeah, they showed the cover art.
Yeah.
I'm still
like, and then everyone got all pissy.
Yeah.
Here's some cover art. The game sucks!
Well, no.
I remember, at least Rachel, like, she likes Gears of War a lot, and she was... Her initial reaction was not very happy with the main character designs or whatever. But I don't know. To me, I'm not a Gears fan, so my opinion probably carries very little weight here. But I think it's kind of a cool way to revitalize the franchise. It feels like the next generation, and it literally is. Like, it's Marcus Fenix or somebody's kid. I don't know.
I think it's. I guess I need to go look.
I haven't
even
seen any of this.
But yeah, well, like the original demo, it was. Like, it was two
spooky.
People going into, like, a mansion, wouldn't say haunted mansion, but, like, a beat-down mansion, and it just, like, mm-hmm. having a more...
It was dark and Bloodborne-y.
Yeah,
like,
just having more...
So, like, Gears-like?
Like, shrunk down.
Like, sure. did Gears have a lot of, like, survival horror? It felt like a Resident Evil game.
Well,
like,
I mean, the environments, especially, I think in the
Gears
later games,
more
so...
very Bloodborne-y.
I think in the third game there was a lot of that, especially
when
you started to get down.
I haven't played the third one.
Well, because there was a lot of stuff done in the, what were they called? The locusts? Is that what they were called? The bad guys?
That's the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you started to go down into their stuff, I feel like, especially that first area in Bloodborne, the designs felt kind of similar. Lots of weird iron grates and gates and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what.
Why would these weird alien monsters create like Victorian era buildings and
I don't know. Yeah, it was just it just kind of had that feel to it. Things seem to have more sharp points on them though down there in their place, but
right.
And the environments were all dark and kind of damp like that, so I could see that.
Sure,
but that was when you went underground. Yeah, everything. I mean, above ground was like normal cities, but. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more Gears of War.
Everything.
I like those games.
Everything that I've seen of the new one, I'm like, yeah, I could get behind that. Like, it looks more exciting to me than Gears has.
Just like a toned down, like not. This isn't like an end of the world scenario. Given like how video game stories usually go, it probably will end up being like that. But you know,
well, and for me, Marcus Fenix and Dom and all them,
ugh.
Like just the character design is really unattractive to me. They just look like a bunch of linebackers with no personality. I don't know. So everything from the new one, like they. Yeah, granted, at first glance, they look kind of stereotypey. Like, here's the cool, you know, white guy with his black friend, and then the girl's there, and they look very cool and hip or whatever. But they are more, for me, relatable than the previous characters, at least just how they look. And from that brief little demo, I like that environment quite a bit. So,
yeah. Well,
I don't know. I'm into it.
Speaking of GOW, there was a leak that the next God of War 4... is going to be based on Nordic mythology or Norse mythology.
I don't hate that.
I know.
I don't. It would be cool if Kratos is nothing like Kratos.
We saw how it all worked out for Two Human.
Isn't Two Human 3 happening now?
They would have to make a 2 first.
Didn't Two Human 2 happen?
No.
No.
Oh, no, that's two worlds, too. Oh, I'm thinking, yeah, two worlds three is happening. Okay, never mind, never mind.
Two human was Norse
mythology.
Human
would be called two human now.
T-W-O human.
That game.
I never actually played it. I kind of want to just to experience it at this point.
Yo, they made everyone destroy all their stock of it.
Oh, right. Shit.
Yeah, I still have a
Ryan,
copy.
Ryan, are you...
I have a copy.
Are you saying that Two Humans' biggest flaw is that it uses Norse mythology?
Yes.
That's why it failed. Yeah. You idiots. Yes. Why'd you choose...
Oh, man, we had so many mythologies. Why did we go
I know in the past I've said... Like, the thing that I would get that would, like, make me more interested in a God of War is if they moved away from Greek mythology. But...
Yeah.
I just don't think I care about God of War at all anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is looking at it through the one filter that we know is Kratos. So, actually, I'm kind of disappointed because I don't really like big dudes with beards as like, a aesthetic. But... If they're gonna go to a different mythology, Rachel and I were just watching The Mummy yesterday, and they had like Anubites and stuff, and I was just thinking about like, you know, just the Egyptian aesthetic, and like thinking about like Age of Mythology when I used to play that, I would always be Egypt, and like they had just the coolest fucking creatures, like the Scorpion King, and yeah, so like if God of War went that direction, that would be super interesting. I think. Like, you're just fighting a bunch of dogmen and cat people, and I don't know. There's gold everywhere. But I don't know. This is cool. I think it's bold. Well, not maybe not bold, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if it's real, you know, I guess we'll find out.
I get the feeling it is.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, it's one of those franchises that, like, everybody kind of agrees is done, but it's also a staple of Sony's, like... roster,
yeah.
So that you can't just get rid of that brand. So they gotta reinvent it some. No, they have to reinvent it somehow.
God of War Kart Racer.
And it, like, I think God of War plays great.
Yeah,
I would love to see more character action games from what is it,
Santa Monica
Studio?
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see them do more of what they do, and their games are gorgeous and
entertaining. Which game are you talking about?
So,
Gears of War,
just the God of War franchise.
Or, sorry, not Gears of War, God of War franchise. Other of War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those games always looked really good.
Yeah, and they play great. I mean, they're no Platinum games. Yeah.
Well, they kind of, Platinum built off what they did, you know. Like, they kind of defined that genre a little bit.
Devil May Cry has been around longer.
The first Devil May Cry
was it Elder?
Before God of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
I like to think, I like, and I don't mind. I think God of War plays great. It plays just fine. So I think it's just more the American character action game versus the Japanese character action game. And they're both good. But yeah, no, I'd like to see, like, I think it's just a name. Honestly, and we don't know anything at this point, but if they are going Norse mythology and they just call it God of War, I'm totally cool with that, because it might as well just be a new franchise.
Like a full reboot, this is God of War.
Yeah, like the rumors are that there's a new protagonist that's also named Kratos, but it has nothing to do. So it's kind of like a Zelda thing.
Well, yeah, it's where they just take, yeah, they build a completely new character and just name it the same.
Right, right.
I'm down.
I think that's kind of neat. Yeah. And then, like, this sets a precedent, right? Where we would be like, oh, what's the next mythology that they interpret? That could be cool.
In 20 years. When did the first one come out? What year? Do you guys know?
2004?
The same year as Resident Evil 4. So 2004.
I think it was 2004.
2006?
I think it was 2004 because 2 was 2007.
2 was, yeah. That makes sense.
And then 3 was 2010. Yeah, I think they were all 3 years apart.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Did you look it up? Or I'm gonna.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm looking it up right now.
Because then Ascension came out in
March 22nd, 2005.
Oh, okay. 2005.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's March 22nd, 2005. So it's been 11 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I always thought it was older than that.
No, Yeah, God of War and Resident Evil 4 came out in like the same 2 to 3 months, and they both were kind of the real dawn of what are those called? QuickTime events.
Right.
Like, both of those games have heavily used QuickTime events, and they were like the first ones to do that.
Yeah, and just because we were talking about the GOWs, I just looked at, so Gears of War only came out like a year and a half later, the original Gears of War. I don't know why I thought that God of War was so much older. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of feels like it is.
The first game is a PS2 game, and it's not a looker. The first one isn't. No. The second one is. Yeah.
No, it is not.
But, yeah, no, I'm excited for it. And I think it's a safe bet to say we'll at least see a teaser or a reveal trailer at E3 this year.
Yeah.
I think it's time for that.
Yeah.
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 In between all the VR stuff that happens at E3. Yeah. But next up, I don't know if we ever actually mentioned this on the podcast, but Rock Band 4, the PC port, was trying to get funding on Fig, and that has since failed. It failed on April 5th. It got about half of what it was aiming for, and Rock Band 4 on the PC has now been canceled, and it's like real sad just seeing Harmonix kind of like spiral downwards seemingly quicker each day.
Well, I can't believe they've held on this long. Like, Rock Band ceased to be relevant a long, long time ago, and they're still kicking somehow.
I don't know exactly how well 4 did.
Not for long. I don't know how well 3 did, honestly.
Well, I feel like 3 was successful, but then, like, they... Like, Guitar Hero kept going after 3.
I felt like 3 was... Like, I felt like 2 was, the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 was, like, when it was... I guess the fever pitch, is that the right term for that? But 2 is when everybody's on board and it's everybody loves Rock Band. And then 3 came out and everybody's kind of weaning off at that point. It might have still been successful, but it was trending downwards. So I don't think 4 did anything except for
I think they thought maybe they had put enough of a gap in there.
It.
Or they had put enough of a gap in there that people were going to be ready to hop, because it's been a little while since the last one. Maybe they thought that it was a fire ready to be stoked again. I bet you,
even though it didn't set the world on fire, Activision made some good money with their Guitar Hero reboot, because it was a single player game with one instrument. The amount that you're asking of your consumer is so much lower, or the barrier to entry is so much lower.
And wasn't it on, lower. Like, every platform?
Probably, yeah.
Because it was just FMV.
Right. I think it was even on mobile.
Yeah, like I think that was, like, the idea of it, of, like, just
That's make crazy.
This super cheap thing that was... I know the Giant Bomb guys liked Rock Band, or Guitar Hero Live a lot more than 4. I think that was, like, the general sentiment I, like, got out of, like, the two new releases. And
it's like Activision are really good at business.
We do business here.
So any listeners out there that are wondering, Dylan's gone. His internet died.
Yeah. It's probably...
He will be sorely missed.
At a certain point, maybe we should have mentioned that. It's been maybe 15, 20 minutes since he...
Well, we wanted to give him a chance to come on back.
Yeah. Exactly.
But now, it's just not going to happen.
No chance.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that. WrestleMania sucks. I mean, I know we're past our... the part of the show where we would talk about it, but man, WrestleMania,
okay.
It had like three okay, one great match, the women's match, and then two pretty good matches.
You should watch the Takeover Dallas. That was that was something.
Well, I want to because you weren't privy to this, so you probably caught up with him afterwards. But when Devin was driving us home, he got real technical critiquing WrestleMania and talking about how good certain matches were, and I was like, oh, you like wrestling.
Well, no, so I was talking with Devin and Harris, and like Devin brought it up, and Harris just went, you like wrestling, don't you, Devin? And he was like, no, but I think I've learned that everyone else kind of doesn't like it, and they know that it's mostly bad.
But, yeah, well,
but like he's more open. He's getting like what makes, you know, it entertaining.
He's understanding it. I see. Yeah, I mean, to be a fan of wrestling and actually like analyze it, you need to be extremely optimistic.
Well, and you just gotta watch.
You need
so
to have faith
much of it
that it can get better.
You gotta watch so much wrestling to like start to. I don't know, like quote like get it of like the little nuances of everything, because there's like such a history to it, and you got to learn that history to like understand what's
well,
happening now.
I think
now
that
helps,
that enriches it, but I don't think you need
No.
But anyways, we're getting off topic. Yeah. WrestleMania sucked.
Yeah, WrestleMania sucked. Takeover Dallas was real good though.
We can get what this. Instead of laughing the podcast, that guy could have also written Tangents the podcast. Like, I don't have a problem with them. we can talk about wrestling if you want.
It's just the last 2 hours or maybe even 3 hours were just a waste of fucking time.
We like so bad. We went to the timestamp like of where the women's match was, because there were three matches after that, and the women's match was at about 2 hours in. So the last three matches took 3 hours.
Jeez. Like,
yeah.
The Shane McMahon, Hell in a Cell, like, I hesitate to say it flat out sucked because he did what he did to himself. But the match was slow and boring and not entertaining at all, except for like three highlights. And homie, don't play that. You can't make a match with a couple highlights. I'm sorry.
Especially when it's 30 minutes long.
Yeah, we watched everything.
Then apparently
8 hours.
Homie, do play that because you watched the whole thing. You could have turned it off at any
point.
Yeah,
I'm not going to just
be like, nope, done.
I don't think I could have, Ryan. I was at a party to watch WrestleMania.
Just start demanding that people turn the TV off.
Turn this off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Man, WrestleMania.
Whose idea was
my
a
brother
WrestleMania
retweeted?
Party?
My brother retweeted a really great clip from The Simpsons and said, "Like this is Roman Reigns Triple H match or whatever." And it's like all the characters from The Simpsons are like in the stands watching a sporting event, and they actually overlaid the audio from WrestleMania from the match, and like all the Simpsons characters like, this sucks, do something. It's like, I'm going home, this fucking blow, and they're all like leaving. And apparently the Roman Reigns punch in the ground and all the fireworks outside the stadium was fake. I don't know, at least I saw a tweet saying that.
Well, that's weird in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing.
LOL.
Any more news, Gabe?
Nothing that we're not going to cover in the questions, so.
Okay.
All right.
Well, speaking of which, so there's some little carryover from last week, Javi, for you. You were not a part of our discussion. So there's some Spider-Man stuff. I think the main one is, what would be your ideal Spider-Man game from Prototype?
That's
I said dating sim.
Actually, you know that an element of that would be appropriate for Spider-Man. Honestly,
Dylan said kart racer.
Oh, nice. Oh, so Dylan's back, but not. Oh no, he said it last week.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've been envious of Batman and mostly Arkham Asylum. I don't know how that would translate to a Spider-Man game, though, you know, because like that game benefits from being in close quarters and swinging around doesn't really work there. But I think a big problem with Spider-Man games is that they assume that they need to be open world and have a big city to swing around, which makes sense, but like that doesn't really lend itself well to like interesting like fighting or encounters. Like they always feel kind of slapped together. And I can't think of any open world games other than Hulk Ultimate Destruction where like that kind of works. Like the Prototype kind of worked, but it's terrible. Yeah, and that's why I think that like Spider-Man Web of Shadows was pretty okay. The story is terrible. The voice acting's terrible. There's missions that they make you repeat ad nauseum. All that stuff sucks. But there's like totally fleshed out combat when you're swinging in the air. There's a totally different combat system when you're on the floor. And then there's a combat system when you're sticking to walls. And like all of that seamlessly, like you could, you know, do a couple attacks, light or heavy attacks while you're like standing on a wall, or and then jump off of it and then do attacks midair, and it all just feels really good. So I guess use that as kind of like your template, or like that's where you start, and then try to design interesting missions and a storyline that kind of brings it all together. And I think that's what a lot of companies try to do and fail miserably. But I honestly think that they don't have the time or the money or the talent to pull that together. So I think actually a good Spider-Man game just requires a lot of fucking work. Like if Rockstar tried to do it, I think Rockstar would kill it. They would just be perfect at it. But that's never going to happen. So we'll just take our awful licensed Spider-Man games that are made in like 2 years.
What I remember about Prototype was that the protagonist was really likable. He was a really cool, good dude.
Do any of you actually remember his name?
No.
He was voiced by Alex Mercer.
Oh. He always said it was such a weird pause.
Yeah, he was voiced by Barry Pepper, the sniper from Saving Private Ryan. Yeah.
Right.
For some reason.
Well, getting into questions for this week, Prototype, did any of you see the Mass Effect Andromeda gameplay leak?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
Really, Ryan? You're the one that would most...
Ryan, I linked it to you like 4 times before this damn podcast happened so you could watch.
When?
Look in the general chat.
Ryan was rebooting his computer when you linked that.
Yeah, probably.
He did that like 5 times.
The general chat of which thing?
The one we're
in right now.
The one we're in now?
The channel we're in. Yeah.
Might have to relink it.
No, you should be able to see it.
I should be able to see it. I see Dark Knight. I see Johnny Solano.
It's right there.
I see the weird beer. That is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, I haven't seen any of it.
React to it live. Tell us what you're seeing and how you feel about it.
Well, you know, so I'll just start.
You guys go ahead and talk. You guys talk.
Say it doesn't do much. I mean, unless there's a different video out there. I think this is the only one. It's like 50 seconds, and some of it is like straight up technical animation and showing like effects and how they vary. There's like a brief moment of like actual gameplay, so you see the HUD and like you have a jetpack, I guess, but
I like the HUD.
Yeah, the HUD update looked nice.
I think it's, I don't know, it feels like it's going back to that kind of cheesy 70s sci-fi feel, which I like. I think that's a good thing.
That brief little bit of gameplay, the character models seem to move a little bit more smoothly.
Oh boy, I hope so.
Also, like the ability to jump with the rocket pack.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really rough, but like, I don't know, something about the way his body was moving around was like, oh, that looks a little bit more natural than it did previously. And it should, because this is, in theory, a stronger system that it's being played on. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't much there, I can say that. So I don't know. Yeah.
The quality wasn't that super high.
That
so.
One guy has real bad allergies to pollen. I did see that. Other than that, I don't know. Not much to go on.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I feel like I say this going into every E3, but I'm excited to see what actually is EA's not even going to be there.
Well, I mean, that's because they're all giving up because we know they'll that Nintendo's finally going to knock it out of the park this year, guys.
Yeah,
I've got a feeling.
Do you think that EA not being there means that they won't give Microsoft Mass Effect for their press conference or Sony?
I imagine there will be something like that, but I'm pretty sure they're also having like their own like separate press conference. It'll just be cheaper that way. Just outside of E3.
So the whole they won't be there thing, except for that they're doing their own press conference during it, they're there then. I don't care. Like, no one cares what's on the show floor. We're not on the show floor. Like, so if there's a press conference going on that week, you're at E3. Let's just make that rule.
Javi's drawing a line in the sand.
I'm drawing the line.
A prototype asks if Javi will draw a comic on Dylan's proposed Spider-Man games.
The
kart racer.
Was there only one?
No, he did a few. The kart racer is the only one I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember the other ones either.
I think I just made sure that each one. I told him that each one had to have some kind of dating sim elements.
Even the kart racer.
Yeah, even the kart racer.
You're clearly joking, but I think that's a great idea.
No, I am not.
Honestly.
I would play the fuck out of a superhero dating sim.
Right, but, you know, there's a tinge of, like, oh, that'd be so stupid, I'd love it. But Peter Parker, he's got issues with the ladies.
He's complicated
way. It's a juggling act. You know, do I buy Mary Jane flowers, or do I stop this mugging? I don't know.
Harris Foster asks, where am I?
I don't know.
Texas.
That's the best I can do for you, Harris.
Yeah. He's Austin, maybe? Austin, probably.
Austin, Massachusetts.
Prototype asks, do you think it is a good idea for the NFL to stream Thursday night games through Twitter? That is...
Oh, yeah.
That is interesting. And very curious.
Wait, so what?
Twitter bought the rights to stream NFL Thursday night games.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've all got Twitter open anyway for all the dumb jokes about the game, so might as well have it there streaming too.
It's saving us time.
Yeah. It's more efficient. It's a more efficient delivery system for jokes.
So this is basically yet another nail in the coffin for old school media, for TV.
Yes.
Right? Like, oh, football. Oh, looks like football is just available on your social media feed. Oh, okay.
Well, this is just 10 games out of the...
Yeah, it's a first step.
Yeah.
It's a first step.
It's still pretty neat. But I mean, like, you can already get NFL Sunday Ticket on other streaming devices and not have to have your television.
True.
And like, today I bought, or I guess over the weekend, I bought... the MLB, like MLB TV subscription for the whole season, every game, all season, for $110. But that's like the cost of 1 month of cable. So like, you can just kind of piecemeal these things. Like, I don't want to have cable, so I can just buy that and watch baseball that I want and still not have to have cable. So that was kind of neat. And it seems like like sports were the biggest thing that I was worried about, and that's kind of gotten around it. Now, I did have to get a VPN subscription, which is like $6 a month or something, so that the website doesn't realize I'm in Houston, so that I can actually watch Houston games because it blacks them out. If your IP address is in the market of the game you're trying to watch, it blacks them out. So had to find a way around that, but. I don't know. I like this sports streaming stuff.
Yeah, sounds cool.
It's good. It's good.
What kind of toy box would you guys make in Disney Infinity? I would make a hallway of every character in the game, and they just tell you how cute you look.
That's you. You have everything you need to build that. You should do it.
I don't know.
Come on, Ryan. Think of something.
Well, I don't. I've never played Disney Infinity.
Well, the options are infinite.
What was the question?
Infinite.
What kind of toy box would you make? What kind of level would you make?
I would make one where you can plant stuff and then farm it, and then maybe every now and then you go to a mine and hang out in there and get some minerals, and then you come back.
You're beyond help.
You farm a little bit more, and maybe take a lady in the town a present every now and then.
You know, all of that's doable. you can literally plant crops. You can create a little mine and put like little ore in there if you want as collectibles. And you can even get presents and deliver them.
Sweet.
There you go. Infinite possibilities.
I like it.
Or Ryan, you could just place one X-wing in the middle of the level and just fly it around and be like, it's a flying game and I love it.
Sweet.
Yeah. But yeah. Do I answer this too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I've actually made some toy boxes. There are a lot. It's hard to make because there's so many options and they're not organized very well. So like it's kind of a mess to like create. I've been trying to make a like 3D collectathon adventure game, and I want to make it interesting, like visually and also engaging to jump around and climb on the environment and all that. So, and there's tons of pieces and stuff that can do that or that, you know, can accomplish that. It's just a matter of sifting through all of it and finding the right stuff. And like, it's extremely time consuming if you don't know exactly what piece you want to use. But yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. That's what I've been trying to do. So,
yeah.
Cool. Ryan, are you planning on selling your beer outside of the Texas area?
That would be a question for down the road.
I thought you were gonna say that would be a crime.
Well, that's the thing. For all I know, it might be. I don't know.
Depends on what state you're shipping to.
Yeah, it depends on what state you're in and what state you're sending it to. Sometimes, but I know distributors do it's just that like you have to start close. Like you make the most money from the beer you pour off your own tap and hand to somebody, like people who come to the brewery and actually try it there.
And you got
to
cut out the middleman.
Yeah. Fuck you, yeah. Fuck you, middleman.
My keg to your mouth.
You know, when this thing gets going, if you wanted some beer, I could probably find a way to make that happen. So you let me know, and we can find a way.
Can work something out.
We can work something out.
You gotta bring that super popular IPA that you were saying everybody drank.
Yeah.
You gotta bring that up here for PAX.
That went really well. I need to make some more of that. I was going to, like, this weekend I made beer, and that's what I wanted to make. But there was, and this happened on the last, that batch that I made, some of the grain that I got just wasn't, it was a bad batch. Not that it tasted bad or tasted funny, it just didn't want to let any of the sugar out of it. It was, so I had to like boil it for 2 hours instead of like the usual hour. And I did not want to do that again. So I was like, I'm just going to wait for you guys to get a new batch of grain. So I'm going to make some soon. I just got to make sure that I don't want to go through that again. I'd just rather just do it the normal way. I'd rather just boil it for an hour. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're sitting there like expecting to boil it for an hour. And then it's like, well, I'm going to be here for a while. And then you also lose beer too, because you're having to boil off that much more, like water to get the concentration you're looking for. So, I don't want to do that again. So I will make some soon. And, if I can, maybe I'll just ship some bottles up there before PAX. But no one here heard me say that.
Yeah, just in case it is illegal. No. That's not... What a funny joke, Ryan.
I'll tell you guys how it works once we get off this thing. It's not illegal. It's not illegal so long as you don't send it through USPS, but there's some other weird stipulations. You have to send it through like FedEx or UPS.
Of course. Right.
And then
the black market.
Yeah.
Last up, do you still listen to Podcast Beyond? Nope.
Nope. Does it still exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Brian Altano and Max Scoville.
Gotcha.
And then like two other dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do occasionally put on, like, I'll just do it in big chunks. I'll just go to the, like, on my TV, I'll browse to the kind of funny channel and just let them play while I'm doing stuff around the house.
Hmm.
It's pretty entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I like those guys.
Yeah. I do, every once in a while, and this is very rare, like, it's not very common, but every once in a while, I'll catch a Nintendo voice chat or maybe a little clip from a podcast with Brian Altano. I'm actually a big fan of him on gaming podcasts, not on Comedy Button so much, but like on, like when he's talking about video games, I'm always like, you nailed it, dude. That's dead on.
Yeah,
I love it. Keep going.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a great YouTube clip called How I Almost Quit My Favorite Game. And it's Brian Altano telling his story of Bloodborne last year about, like, he's like, I love the aesthetic. I love everything this game is doing, but I can't play this. Like, he was just getting his ass kicked. And he's talking about how he finally got to the cleric beast, the first boss, and like 30 times in a row, he'd respawn, run straight to it, and get killed faster than the last time. And he basically put the controller down. He's like, God, I love this game. I want to love this game. It's not for me. You know, and so he went on the forums and he wrote out his experience and said, yeah, I can't do this. And he talks about like the responses that everybody gave him, like, you get back in there, you asshole, go get fucking figure it out, you know. Somebody said something that inspired him to really give it another shot. And what he did was he spent like a few hours just level grinding, just killing the same dudes over and over again, and then leveling himself up. And then he tried to fight that first boss again and obliterated him. And the way he tells the story is so fucking exciting. He's like, and then I went to the next boss, knocked that motherfucker out. And then I went to this thing. And he's like, and now I own that game. Like, this is my town. And he's like, I love this game. It's my favorite game of the year and maybe one of my favorite games of all time. And I'm like, dude, yes. Like, he just told a really great story about Bloodborne. I was like, yeah. Brian Altano is very good when he talks about something he's passionate about. And a lot of the time, that's Nintendo stuff. And so I can relate.
Well, that's all the questions we got.
Okay.
Ryan.
Ryan, that's that. Okay.
Play us out.
Well, actually, before we go, I'm just going to mention, so I can make the header image this, watch those two new Overwatch like animated shorts because they're amazing. I want to make the header that because they look really pretty. I'm really excited for Overwatch.
So you just gotta throw in a mention of Overwatch. So.
Yeah, just so it makes sense when it's the header. So okay. Yeah,
Overwatch is giving me deja vu of Team Fortress 2.
I know, isn't it great?
Well, that's the thing. Like, remember, I never got into Team Fortress 2, but I appreciate the character design. Like, I always thought Team Fortress 2 was a beautiful looking game and the characters were super expressive and I loved the little short films for each character. All that stuff was like oozing with personality.
Right.
But it's also a multiplayer cartoony shooter that Gabe's super fucking stoked about and I am so lukewarm about. Like, I don't care about a multiplayer first person shooter. I'm not trying to shit on the game. I think that most people are very excited about this, but I am getting deja vu about Team Fortress. Like, it's the same kind of experience for me where I'm like, I love how this looks. I think it looks like it's really high quality and very well done and people seem to fucking love it, but man, I don't care.
Yeah. Yep. Well, okay. Yeah. So is that,
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Well, that's yeah, that's awesome. So if you would like to find us, you can do that at GameOverNation.com. You can find us on YouTube, YouTube.com/GameZeroVerNation. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/GameOverNation. And, of course, hit us up on Twitter, @GameOverNation. Those are the places. Javi.
Crash Bandicoot will return at E3.
Okay.
On PlayStation.
Okay. Cool. Neat.
I kind of
hope not, but okay.
He will, though. Just wait. Okay. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. This has been another episode of Game Over Nation. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.